Exercise 2B, page 35. Text 1.
Okay, let's go over the rubric for your presentations. Your presentations will be marked out of 25. Of that total, a maximum of 10 marks will be allotted for content. What is included in content is the depth and quality of your research, how you've selected and structured your ideas, and how relevant your information is to the basic premise of your presentation. Delivery will be marked out of 5, and I'll be looking at how well you use your voice to present your ideas, and also your body language while you are up there. There is a separate category for how you interact with your audience, and I'll be paying particular attention to how you deal with questions from the class afterwards. Lastly, a maximum of 5 marks will be awarded for appearance, how you organize your slides, visually speaking, and whether you use visuals that enhance what you're trying to say. That's it. Any questions?
Text 2.
You wanted to talk to me, Professor?
Yes, Bella. It's about the essay you handed in.
Is there a problem?
I want to ask you if it's all your work.
Of course it is. Why do you think it's not?
Well, there are a lot of sophisticated ideas here. I know you're intelligent, but some of these ideas don't seem like they came from a first-year university student.
That's my research, Professor. I got it from books I found in the library. I listed them at the end of my essay.
Sure, but every time you use an idea from a source, you need to provide a citation for it in your essay.
Oh, really? I thought I just needed a reference for quotations.
I thought that might be what you did. It's a common misunderstanding with first-year students. I'll tell you what. Why don't you take this essay back, add the citations, and resubmit it? I'll only take off 5%.
Oh, thank you. I won't make that mistake again.
Text 3.
Today, we're talking with Carol Hammett. Carol, you've just launched a new social media platform to help English language learners around the world. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Sure, Alex. I came up with the idea a few years ago when I was teaching online. I had a class of students in Korea, and they told me that they had little opportunity to practice their English outside of class. And by class, I mean my online lessons, which were 3 times a week.
That's a common problem with learners all over the world, is it not?
Exactly. And that's what gave me the idea. I thought about how I could connect my Korean students with the students I taught in South America at the beginning of my career.
But why do you need to do that? Why not just tell your Korean students to talk to each other outside of class?
They do. They're all friends. The problem is that they speak Korean to each other. I understand this from my own experience with other native English speakers in a Spanish class. It's so hard to discipline yourself to try to speak the language you are just learning when you know you have a common first language with your friends.
I could see how that would be true. So, your idea is to connect learners with people that they would have to speak English with because they have no other language in common.
Yes. That's basically the way it works. On the site, every learner creates a profile with some basic information about themselves, like their age, where they live, what their interests are, what languages they speak, and most importantly, what their English level is.
So that's so they can find others at the same level?
Not necessarily. I find that they mostly connect based on common interests, like the same taste in music, or maybe they both follow the same football team. You wouldn't believe how big the Manchester United group is. Last time I checked, there were over 8,000 members. It's very common, for example, that an advanced learner will connect with one at a much lower level. The higher level learners seem to love tutoring and helping others.
Well, it's all very exciting. Just before we go, tell our listeners where they can find your site.
Sure. It's www.